Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm Jim Dolan, your host for this hour. Well, we're going to have a game show to start off with, and radio, of course, had plenty of game shows. One of the more famous ones was You Bet Your Life, and that starred, of course, Groucho Marx, who at the time was after his movie career, and he was looking for things to do. It's a good show, so I think you're going to like it. If you like Groucho Marx, you should give this one a listen. So let's let the duck drop right now from out of the rafters as we listen to You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word tonight is floor. F-L-O-O-R.
Really?
You bet your life! The more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers of America present Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood. And here he is, the one, the only...
Let's not go overboard. It's only me. Well, here I am again with $1,000 for one of our couples tonight. Mr. Fenneman, who's first to try for the $1,000?
We invited some wives of college professors to the program tonight, and just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected Mrs. Dorothy Robbins. Her partner is a memory expert, Mr. David Roth. And here they are. Folks, come in here and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, folks. Welcome for the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Say the secret word and divide $100. It's a common word, something you'll find around the house. Mrs. Robbins, you're the college professor's wife, eh?
Yes, I am.
Where are you from?
I was born in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I admire this audience. That's the first time anybody's mentioned Brooklyn without the whole audience going into hysterics.
I'm surprised, too.
I'm surprised and gratified, too. This must be a very high-class audience. You're from Brooklyn, huh? I'll call you Dorothy, huh?
Fine.
And you can call me Dorothy, too. How long have you been married, Mrs. Robbins?
17 years.
Has it been happy all along?
Oh, yes.
Been very. And what college is your husband a professor?
At UCLA.
What subject does your husband teach?
Business administration.
I see. And is he good at it?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Does he ever advise you about your checkbook at the end of the month?
Well, he tries to organize me.
And has he been very successful?
Well, when I'm organized, I can't find things.
Well, that must make it very pleasant around the house. Huh? And Mr. David Roth, I'll just call you Dave, huh?
Correct.
You can call me Dorothy. Now, let's see. What is it you do, Mr. Roth?
Why, I'm a memory expert.
Oh yes, I forgot. Where are you from, Mr. Roth?
Well, I was born in Milwaukee.
Uh-huh. Well, no wonder you're a memory expert. Anything from Milwaukee is bound to have a head on it. Are you married?
Oh, yes.
Any children?
One.
Well, you are a memory expert, all right. You remember everything, don't you? How old are you, Mr. Roth?
Oh, I'm past 50.
Well, when did you pass it, Mr. Roth? And how fast were you going?
Pretty fast.
How much past 50?
Well, quite a bit. My wife, rather, I wouldn't tell my age.
Would you tell your wife's age?
No, I wouldn't dare to do that.
And you're the professor's wife,
that's
aren't
right,
you,
yes.
Dorothy?
Mm-hmm.
My memory is improving already, mm-hmm. isn't it? Right? And all it took was a short conversation with Mr. What did you say your name? What did you say your name was?
Oh, Roth.
My eyes are not what they used to be. I don't remember anything very well. I thought I reckoned you were the fellow who was here a minute ago, weren't you, Mr. Roth? Now, tell me, Mr. Oglethorpe, how did you happen to become a memory expert when you were a little boy? Was it your ambition to become an elephant?
No, I'll tell you. I was a boy in high school in Cincinnati.
You were a boy in high school?
A boy in high school.
Well, that I'm sure of, huh?
And I was about 15 years...
Were you ever a girl in high school, Mr.?
And I was about 15 years of age, and I found that my memory wasn't any good. So I tried to devise a method so I could at least pass my examination. And that's how I got to be a memory expert.
I see. You know, I devised a method to help pass examinations, too. But they threw me out of school for it. I was the West Point of my time. Now, in just 1 minute, you're going to play You Bet Your Life for a chance at the $1,000 question. But right now, I want you to pay attention to something real important.
In one amazing test after another, DeSoto's superior performance has been proved again and again. In the famous waterproof ignition test, a new DeSoto is driven at higher than usual speed through a water-flooded street. Water is allowed to splash right up over the engine, reaching almost every part of the ignition system. Yet the new DeSoto keeps right on running without missing a beat. To you, waterproof ignition means your new DeSoto will start in even the wettest weather. And what a ride DeSoto gives you. The famous DeSoto road tests have proved that DeSoto's Auraflow shock absorbers give the smoothest ride ever known. Why, the bumps just melt right out from under you. And DeSoto's sensational blowout tests have proved the value of safety rim wheels. With an ordinary car, a blowout may cause the tire to leave the rim and may throw the car out of control. But with DeSoto's amazing safety rim wheel, special protective ridges hold the tire securely on the rim and allow the driver to bring the new DeSoto to a sure, safe stop. Yes, friends, in one amazing test after another, DeSoto's superior performance has been proved again and again with waterproof ignition, Auraflow shock absorbers, safety rim wheels, and a host of other exciting features. See it now at your DeSoto Plymouth dealers.
All right, now let's see how well you work together as a team. George, would you mind explaining the rules?
Here are the rules. You bet as much of your $20 as you want on each of four questions, and the couple that earns the most money gets a chance at the $1,000 question later in the show.
All right, here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected capital cities of the world. Here's your first question. How much of the 20 are you going to bet?
15.
What is the capital city of Denmark?
Copenhagen.
Copenhagen is right.
Well, you're on your way. You have $35.
Remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. How much of the 35 are you going to bet on your second question?
30.
What is the capital city of Bolivia?
We're stuck.
Well, it's La Paz, or La Paz, L-A, capital P-A-Z. That's a tough one. That's too bad. How much have they got now?
You dropped down to
$5.
Oh, well, that's a shame. Here's your third question. How much of the $5 are you going to risk now?
Should we bet
four? Four.
$4. All right. What is the capital city of Poland?
Warsaw.
Warsaw is right. Please.
Well, you're on your way again. You have $9.
Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the $9 are you going to risk?
Well, all of it.
All of it. All right.
Shoot the works. What is the capital city of Argentina?
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires is right.
And you lined up with a grand total of $18.
Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers.
Just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected some new parents to be on the show tonight, Groucho. And here they are, Alexander Podgorny of the United States Navy and Mrs. Podgorny. Come in here and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, kids, for the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Say the secret word and win $100. It's a common word, something you find around the house. Barbara and Alexander Podgorny.
Yes, that's right.
That's a kind of a curious name. What kind of a name is that, Alex?
It's a Polish name, sir.
Polish?
Yes, sir.
Oh, are you in the Polish Navy?
Afraid I'm not, sir.
No. Well, don't be afraid. You ought to be very happy that you're not. What is your first name, Mrs. Podgorny?
Barbara.
Barbara?
Yes.
Well, that's a lovely name, and you're a very attractive girl. And you're a very lucky Pole.
Thank you.
How old are you, Alex?
I'm 28, sir.
28. And how old is your baby?
He's 4 months today.
Alex is 4 months?
No, our baby is.
Oh, well, where are you from, Barbara?
I'm from Corpus Christi, Texas.
Where?
Corpus Christi, Texas.
Texas, huh? Oh. There they are, the people from Brooklyn again. How old are you, Alex?
I'm 28, sir.
28, yeah. And your name Mr. Roth, did you say?
No, it isn't.
What did you say your name was?
I'm Barbara Podgorny.
Oh, Barbara Podgorny. You're Mr. Roth, huh? How do you like being married to a sailor, Barbara? Is he gobs of fun?
Yes, he is. He really is.
Is he? Does he have a girl in every port?
No, he doesn't.
How do you know he hasn't got any other girls?
Well, he's land-based.
Oh, he's land-based?
Yes, he is. He doesn't go to sea.
He doesn't go to sea who? That's kind of an incomplete statement, isn't it?
No, what I mean is he's stationed up at Point Magoo.
Well, where is Point where?
Point Magoo.
Point Magoo?
Yes.
Is that anything like Fibber Magoo and Molly?
No.
But what is a Point Magoo? I don't understand this, huh?
Point Magoo is the Naval Air Missile Test Center.
Well, where is Point Magoo?
It's about 60 miles up the coast, I believe.
Your husband is at Point Magoo, 60 miles up the coast?
Yes, he is.
Well, who is this imposter?
That's my husband.
Why are you stationed at Point Magoo? What is that?
Point Magoo is a Naval Air Missile Test Center.
What do you mean, a missile? Is that anything like mistletoe?
Mistletoe, sir, is something you kiss a girl under.
Not me. I kiss a girl under her nose. Some of those noses look like Point Magoo, too. Tell me something about these guided missiles, will you? How do they work? Alex?
Well, it's an experimental experimental and testing of guided missiles is what it is, sir, and outside of that, it's restricted. There's nothing much more I can tell you.
This is top secret stuff?
Yes, yes it is.
You're not allowed to disclose anything?
Nothing at all, sir.
In other words, it's none of my business, is that right?
That's right, absolutely.
You'll thank me to keep my nose out of it. Well, it may interest you to know that I can tell you plenty about guided missiles. I used to be one.
You used to be one.
I was the first man ever shot out of a cannon. I was doing fine, too, until I got a swell head. Where were we? Oh, yes. Tell me, Mr. Roth. Mr. Podgorny, we were talking about your new baby. It happens we weren't, but it's time we did, don't you think?
Oh, yes.
What is this little youngster's name?
His name is Russell Anthony Podgorny.
Well, that's a fine name. There's a lot of eloquence to it, huh? Well, it's a wonderful thing having a new baby. Right now, I'd give anything to be in your shoes. You know why?
No, I don't.
I've got a nail in mine. Well, now that you have a baby, do you get more money from the Navy, Alex?
No, I don't, sir. You have to have two or more children before you get any additional allowances.
Is that so? You mean the Navy doesn't give a toot for one baby, eh? That doesn't seem fair. Isn't there anything you can do about it?
No, sir.
Well, you could file a complaint with the Secretary of the Navy, couldn't you?
I'm afraid he wouldn't get it.
Does Alex ever bother to amuse the baby?
Oh, yes, he does quite a lot.
Could you show us how he amuses the baby?
Well, he'll go, boodly, 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 or, wah! Look here now.
I guess it's just as well if you don't have another kid.
Huh?
But seriously, Barbara, as the MC say, does this really amuse the baby? Boodly, 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 boodly.
Oh, yes, he just coos and laughs.
And this is what he does?
Yes,
would
he
you
does.
Show us how you do it, Alex?
I really know.
But you do it to the baby, eh?
Yes, I do.
Well, Alex, it may amuse the baby now, but in 10 years, that boy's going to be worried about his old man. Well, you're a wonderful representative young American couple, and I think the United States Navy and America can be proud of kids like you, too.
Thank you.
And I'm sure you'll go far.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure you'll go even further than Point Magoo, you two.
We hope to.
You may even have to go to your DeSoto Plymouth dealer.
No.
And you won't make any mistake if you go there. Do I sound like Godfrey? I have some tea here that I would like to dip in. Now you're going to play. They eat and drink on that show. I get nothing. Did you ever try to eat a DeSoto or a Plymouth? They're wonderful writing qualities, but you cannot eat anything on there except an occasional inner tube. All right, now you're going to play You Bet Your Life for a chance at the $1,000 question. You run your $20 into more than their other couples. I can't tell you how much you have to win, but Mr. Fenneman is going to remind our listeners.
The professor's wife and the memory expert won $18.
Here we go. Let's see how high you can build your $20. You selected instruments played by orchestra leaders. Here's your first question. How much will you bet?
What do you think?
How much are you going to bet?
$13
on a dead man's chest, huh? All right. What instrument does Carmen Caballero play?
Piano, sir.
The piano is correct.
Well, you're off to a good start. You have $33.
Remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. Now, how much of the 33 are you going to bet this time?
30.
What instrument does Xavier Cugat play?
Violin, sir.
Violin is right.
You now have $63.
And here's your third question. How much are you going to bet this time?
Okay.
62, sir.
62. Yeah. 62. What instrument does Freddie Martin play? Talk it over.
I don't know.
Take a guess if you don't know.
I believe it's the piano, sir.
No, I'm sorry. It's a saxophone. You
should have
known that.
I thought it was some kind of a horn, but I didn't know what
kind
it was.
Don't you kids go? I'm sure you've gone to dance halls and stuff.
We've danced for Freddie Martin.
We sure have.
It's a shame you don't have one.
You know what was the trouble, don't you? You two were watching each other instead of the orchestra leader.
Oh.
Now you're down to a dollar.
Yes.
It's a good thing you haven't got that second kid. But the Navy is still pretty steady pay, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. Now, how much are you going to bet?
We'll bet the dollar.
You're going to bet the whole dollar?
Right.
I'm going to dollar.
If you lose this, you can dive through a porthole. Huh? All right. What instrument does Woody Herman play?
Clarinet.
Clarinet is right.
Oh, honey.
Well, Gracia, you only won $2.
I'll give you one question, on. If you get it right, you win $10. Think hard now. No help from the audience. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Who was buried in Grant's tomb?
Couldn't be Grant.
General Grant is right. Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers.
Just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected a wrestling referee and a woman who works in a candy factory. And here they come, Mrs. Betty Whitener and Mr. Mike Ruby. Folks, come in here and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word and you'll divide $100. It's a common word, something you'll find around the house. Betty Whitener?
Whitener.
Whitener, huh? And Mike Ruby, huh? Where are you from, Mrs. Whitener?
I'm from Chattanooga, Tennessee, just below Lookout Mountain.
There's those people from Brooklyn again. You're from Lookout Mountain, eh? And what do you look out for while you're up there, Betty?
Well, on a clear day, you can look out over the mountain, see seven states.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very famous
You know what
place.
Seven states you can see?
Well, Georgia and Alabama and Kentucky and I can't think of the rest of them right now.
Well, you probably only went halfway up, huh? What do you do, Mrs. Whitener, besides spying on seven states?
I work for Awful Fresh McFarlane.
Well, have you complained to your husband?
No.
What do you mean, awful fresh? What's the matter with him?
Well, he's not fresh, but his candy is.
Oh, I see. That's the name of the candy. Awful
that's
fresh.
Right.
I see. That's rather clever, isn't it? Huh? Are you there? Well, just how fresh is it? Is about if I bit into a maraschino cherry, would it squirt me in the eye or something?
Well, it's liable to, because they break down after a certain length of time, and it's liable.
Yeah. Well,
to.
Who doesn't, huh? That's the history of my life, Mrs. Widener. Let's not become nostalgic here, huh? What is your job at this fudge foundry?
I'm a dipper.
What do you mean you're a dipper?
I dip in chocolate.
You must be an awful mess when you get home at night. Well, how did they get the nuts in the peanut brittle? That's always puzzled me.
Well, the candy maker that makes the peanut brittle, he goes out to the nut house and he gets the nuts and he brings it back in and they have to weigh all their ingredients. Then he takes the syrup and the glucose and the sugar and all the ingredients that he puts into it.
Well, is it easy to get somebody out of the nut house? And... You're a Mike Ruby, you're a wrestling referee.
That's right.
What's necessary to be a referee, a wrestling referee? I've been watching it on television.
First you have to go down to the State Athletic Commission and get
Wait just a moment. You're not going to stand there and tell me that wrestling is considered an athletic event.
Well, yes, it is. It's supervised by the... Well, I guess ever since they've had an athletic commission in the state of California.
Is
anyhow.
That so? I would think the Screen Actors Guild had more to do with that. Don't take a slug at me. I may come back with some peanut, but how do you get a license? Is your name Mr. Roth? Did you say
that? Mike Ruby.
Oh, Mike Ruby. Do you have to get a license? Do you have to prove that you can't see 2 feet without your glasses?
No, you have to take a very rigid physical and written examination to get a license.
I've seen a lot of wrestling on television, and I have a question. How is it all I ever see is the referee bending over when I watch a wrestling match? Well, you know, you fellas could make a fortune selling advertising. There's one thing I've been avoiding, and I wish you'd give me a frank answer. Is wrestling really honest?
Sure.
Look, I'm not a six-year-old child, you know. What makes you think it's honest?
Well, I'm a former wrestler myself.
And you regard that as evidence? Huh? I better be careful. You throw a hammerlock on me. If you'd care to make a statement about wrestling, you can go right ahead, and I'll be quiet. I promise.
Well, I'll admit there are some crooked athletes in the wrestling game, but I don't think there's any more crooked men engaged in the wrestling game than in any other sport or occupation. Or
in other words, what goes on in your wrestling? In other words, what goes on in your wrestling arena is honest, fair, and above reproach. Is that it?
Sure.
That's well, in that case, I own the crookedest television set in this town. Well, it's been most enlightening talking to you two, and next time I bite into a chocolate cream, I won't be surprised if I find Gorgeous George in there. Now you're going to play You Bet Your Life. You beat our other couples, and you'll get a chance at the $1,000 question. Can't tell you how much you have to win, but Gorgeous George is going to remind our listeners. That's Mr. Fenneman I'm referring to.
The professor's wife and the memory expert lead with $18.
All right, here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected nicknames of sports immortals. Is that right?
That's right.
Or immortal sports. Here's your first question. How much will you bet?
$15.
Who was known as the Sultan of Swat?
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth is right.
You have $35.
Remember, you're going for $1,000 tonight. How much of the $35 are you going to bet on your second?
$32.50.
What tennis player was known as Little Miss Poker Face? Take a guess if you don't know.
Helen Wills.
Helen Wills Moody is right.
You now have $67.50.
And here's your third question. How much of the $67.55 are you going to bet?
$50.
$65.
$65.
With you?
Yes.
All right. What French boxer was known as the Orchid Man?
Gorgeous Georges Carpentier.
Carpentier is right. I just wanted you to know that I knew the incorrect pronunciation, huh? And here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much have they got?
I think they have $132.50.
How much are you going to go for?
Shoot it.
Shoot it?
Huh? Yes.
Okay. This is the last question?
This is the coup de grace. What am I saying? Who is known as the Galloping Ghost?
Redgrange.
Redgrange is right. Give him a big kiss. He answered all those questions.
You now have a grand total of $265, and that means that the referee and the chocolate dipper with $265 in just 1 minute get a chance at the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question.
Folks, one thing you can always count on is expert attention for your car when you take it to a DeSoto Plymouth dealer. No matter what service your car may need, whether it's an engine tune-up, a winter checkup, or just a simple lubrication job, your DeSoto Plymouth dealer has the equipment to do it right. And he has the master technicians who know how to use that equipment, too. Yes, your DeSoto Plymouth dealer is the man to see when your car needs service of any kind. And he has complete paint facilities, too, to give you a top job, whether your car needs an overall paint job or a touch-up to prevent rust and corrosion in the bad weather driving ahead. So, if you want to put your car in top running condition at a price that's fair, take it where you see the famous sign of better service, the friendly sign of a DeSoto Plymouth dealer. And here comes the chocolate dipper and the referee, all set for the DeSoto Plymouth $1,000 question.
Now, Betty and Mike, here's a chance to really wiggle yourself into some real big money now. Here we go for $1,000. I give you 15 seconds to decide on a single answer between you. Think carefully and please no help from the audience. Here it is. It's a tough one. In 1947, the ECA, or Marshall Plan, came into being to help the peoples of Europe. For $1,000, tell me, what do the letters ECA stand for? And I want you to tell me exactly. Now think it over. You got 15 seconds.
I don't know. Go ahead, try.
All right, kids, take a stab. What do you say? It's got to be precise now.
European Cooperative Association, but that's not it.
Well, you were flirting with it. It's a tough question. I didn't know it either. It's Economic Cooperation Administration.
Yes, close.
I'm sorry. And our source is the Encyclopedia Americana. That's the correct answer. Anyhow, they won how much?
$265 in the quiz.
Well, that's not too bad. That means the big question next week will be worth $1,500. Congratulations and thanks to both of you and to all of our contestants on the show tonight.
Thank you. Good night, buddy.
Be sure to tune in again next Wednesday night at the same time for the Groucho Marx Show, when the big question will be worth $1,500. And don't miss Groucho's television show, also presented by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America. And remember, all dealers who sell DeSoto also sell Plymouth. Two great cars, both products of the Chrysler Corporation.
And when you drive in, tell them Groucho sent you. Good night, folks, and remember, just be sure to visit your DeSoto Plymouth dealer.
Folks, here's a reminder that when you contribute to the United Red Feather campaign this month, you contribute to many campaigns in one. Yes, to the community health and welfare services of most cities have been added the national services of the United Defense Fund. So remember, give the United Red Feather way. You Bet Your Life, transcribed from Hollywood, is produced by John Goodell, directed by Robert Dwan and Bernie Smith, music by Jerry Fielding. This is George Fenneman signing off for the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers from coast to coast.
That's You Bet Your Life with Groucho Marx. Now it's time to do a little detecting with Philo Vance. This is called The Movie Murder Case, and it's from 1949. All right,
you know what you have to do now, Art? After the fall from the balcony, we stop the camera and we pan into you lying on the floor, right?
Yes, go ahead and shoot the scene. I'll be where I'm supposed to be.
Okay.
Now, Joe, those
How do you like that guy, Joyce? I've only been in 70 Western movies. In every one of them, there's a scene like this.
I don't think Mr. Haney would tell you anything if he wasn't sure there was a reason. You are a little unreliable, you know, Art, despite what the kids think of you and those 70 Westerns.
Well, I'm with friends. I can see that.
All right, cut it out, Art. We want to shoot this scene. All right, you two up in the balcony.
Yeah?
You start slugging, you wrestle, and both of you fall over the balcony, right?
Right.
Got it.
All right. Quiet, everybody.
Quiet.
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 All right, now, we can pick both of you guys up on a microphone, so make this good and real. All right, let's make this. Sound. Sound's ready. Quiet, everybody. Roll them.
Production number 11254, scene 6. Take away.
All action.
Right, all right,
Okay, cut. Cut. All right, that was good. That was great. Fine. Well, that stunt man we've got doubling for you really can take falls, can he, Art?
That's what he's paid to do, isn't it?
Yeah, but everyone doesn't do what he gets paid to do around here. For instance, you're paid to act.
Who's writing your dialogue, Ed? Bill Moore?
Very funny.
Hasn't he got enough trouble with the lines in this picture? It's the worst talk I've ever had to say.
Well, I guess this is a typical Art Ingram picture, isn't it? You've griped about everything so far. Your story, your lines, your leading lady.
Oh, you're not too bad.
Thanks. Tell me, you do think your horse is all right?
Sarcasm's catching around this place. What do you say, Ed? Let's get on with the next scene.
All right, suits me. All right, places for next scene, everybody. Places. Places. I will run through it once and then shoot it. Let's try to make the first one a take.
Joyce, look at the way those extras move when Ed yells at them. What a life. Yeah, what a life that double of mine leads. You realize, Joyce, that I was supposed to take that fall from the balcony.
I realize it very well. You have no idea how I wish you had taken it. Maybe you wouldn't have gotten up.
Partner, put down that six shooter, he said.
Bill? Bill, are you busy?
Oh, no, no. I'm just banging on this typewriter to keep my fingers limber. What's up, Joycey?
Oh, I just came off a set. Been working with Art Ingram all morning, yeah. Are you really not busy, Bill?
I'm doing some last-minute rewrites on tomorrow's scene, Joyce. Art was complaining about his lines, and Ed wants to keep peace in the family, so little Billy goes to work. It can wait, though. Why do you ask?
I'm not complaining, Bill, but I wish you'd write me some smart lines, some things that'll give me a chance to stand out. I've got all I can do to get my face in the camera when I work with Art.
That bum knows more tricks than a monkey.
You're not kidding.
I'll do a rewrite on your lines for you, Joyce. Glad to do it.
Oh, gee, that's swell. Apparently, you don't like him either.
What do you mean, either? I don't like him, but I didn't think there was any friction between you two.
Well, there is. Tell me something, Bill. What reason do you have for hating Art?
You really want to know?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you. I had a kid sister in college a couple of years ago. She was terrific. Pretty, had talent, was engaged to the campus hero. Had everything her own way.
Mm. What college, Bill?
Daniels University. Remember Joe Layton, All-American end?
Well...
Intercollegiate heavyweight champ, baseball and track star?
I know the name.
Well, that was the guy Mary was engaged to. And one day, Art Ingram went up to Daniels U to shoot some scenes for a picture, and he met my sister. She didn't have sense enough to tell me she'd met him, but she fell all over herself, falling in love with the guy. She quit school, followed him back to the coast, and 6 months later committed suicide.
Oh, no.
Oh, huh? Yes, with a capital Y. Someday Ingram and I are going to settle up about Mary. I promised myself that a long time ago.
Bill, don't do anything about Art that'll get you in trouble. He isn't worth it. Believe me, he isn't.
Don't worry, Joyce. When I do something about Art, it won't get me into any trouble. I guarantee that.
Keep those horses quiet, will you, fellas? We don't need them till the next scene. Now get them away so we don't pick them up on this microphone. That's good.
That's all right.
All right, that's fine. Now, Joyce, you know the action in this scene.
I'm not in the first part of it. Huh? Art comes galloping up, rides in front of the camera, and then rides off. He's supposed to be chasing the bandits who have me.
Fine, all right. One thing that guy can really do is ride.
Mm.
Quiet, everybody!
Quiet!
Quiet!
Okay, let's make this. Sound. Sounds ready. Quiet, everybody. Roll them.
Speed. Production number 11254, scene 7. Take it away.
Action.
Hey, Ingram, fella. Come here.
Holy mackerel, what a thing to happen to me. Ingram's been thrown. Come on, George.
Yeah.
All right, get back. Everybody, get back. I don't touch him.
Nobody's touched him, Ed. Look at him. He's not moving.
Come on, let us through there. Let us through, will you?
Ed.
He's lying pretty still. I'll see in a minute if he's hurt.
Ed.
All
right,
stand back. Stand back.
He's dead, Joyce.
Oh.
Looks to me like his neck's broken. Must have landed on it.
Ed, look at his hand.
What about it?
When he rode past us a second ago, that big diamond ring of his was on his finger. I saw it.
And so did I. You couldn't miss it. Hey, it's not there.
And nobody touched the body before we got here. What happened to the ring?
I don't know. All I know is what happened to Art Ingram.
Like organ music, Vance?
I like practically every kind of music, Markham. It's very restful. And so's your driving, by the way. For a district attorney, you drive very well.
How are district attorneys supposed to drive?
Oh, you know, full of fire and fury, always in a hurry to get somewhere.
Not on my day off, Vance, and not when accompanied by my favorite of private investigators.
Well, thank you.
Come to think of it, if I do drive a little faster, we'll make my apartment by dinner time. I have an appointment with Mrs. Markham, and I don't want to be late.
Late, Markham? Nothing's either late or early. Time is a convenience that we humans decided upon to facilitate appointments or to make a schedule practical. I never make appointments, and I live by no schedule, so time is relatively meaningless to me.
Your remark comes under the same category, my friend.
We interrupt this organ concert to bring you a news report. Art Ingram, well-known movie cowboy, was killed in an accident this morning when his horse threw him.
Vance,
very unfortunate.
Witnesses supply a fantastic angle to the accident. His director and co-star insist that when Ingram rode past the camera a few seconds before his death, a diamond ring was seen on his finger. When he was thrown, without ever being out of their sight, the ring was missing. We return you now to...
Why turn off the radio, Vance? I thought you enjoyed the organ concert.
There's one thing I enjoy more, Markham.
Yes, and I know what it is. It's investigating murders. But apparently Art Ingram wasn't murdered. And if he was, you certainly have no way of knowing it.
Haven't I? I think otherwise.
Now, wait a minute, Vance. Don't tell me that just because that ring is missing, you think Ingram was murdered.
The missing ring has nothing to do with it, Markham. They'll find the ring. It probably fell off Mr. Ingram's hand and is in the bushes somewhere. But something proves to me that man was murdered. Markham, your day off is herewith canceled. We're going to work.
Hey,
That's how it happened, Vance. Exactly how it happened.
He rode past you and the camera, Miss Payne.
Yes.
He was leaning over the horse's neck as if to get more speed from him. Then he fell off a few seconds later and landed on his head.
And Vance, his neck was broken. That all makes sense.
Not to me.
Why don't you settle for being half right, Vance? They found the ring just as you said they would. It had fallen off Ingram's hand and was in the bushes at the side of the road. Why do you insist he was murdered?
I'll explain that to you, Markham, but not now. Miss Payne.
Yes?
Did Mr. Ingram have any enemies in this troop?
Why don't you ask me if he had any friends? That'd be easier to answer.
I see what you mean. Are you included in the camp of the enemies?
Ingram didn't bother me one way or another. All I can tell you is I didn't like him. But there is somebody here who hated him.
Who's that?
Bill Moore. He wrote the scenario for the picture we were shooting. Believe me, Vance, he had a reason for seeing Ingram dead.
That automatically gives me a reason for seeing him. Markham.
Of course, Vance. Mr. Moore, please.
Yes?
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Come right in here, if you will.
Well?
Hello, Mr. Moore.
Hello.
I understand you and Art Ingram didn't get on very well.
Who told you that, Joyce?
Well, it's true, isn't it?
Just because it's true doesn't mean it has to be public property. Okay, Mr. Vance, I hated Art Ingram. What are you going to do about it?
Well, I don't know at the moment, young man. But if you did anything about killing him, I promise you I'll do something about that.
What am I going to do? I'm going to try and finish the picture, of course. What? No close-ups. I'll shoot all the scenes that Ingram was supposed to do with his double. That guy will have the most famous back in show business when I'm through. What? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, if there's any more trouble, I'll call you. So long.
Mr. Haley, you're going to let me finish the picture?
That's right, Wally. You're going to take Art's place. And we only need you for a couple of scenes.
Oh, well, gosh, I'm not sure that I can do that, Mr. Haley.
Okay, so you're not sure I am.
It's very hard for me to remember more than one thing at a time, Mr. Haley.
Yeah, okay, now we'll shoot the scenes in pieces.
Yeah, but I was...
Don't worry, will you, Wally? Haven't I got enough problems? With Vance and Markham and a couple of cops lousing up the studio and me trying to get a picture finished? Am I going to have trouble with you, too?
Oh, no, sir, Mr. Haley, I don't give anybody any trouble. Only I'm really a stuntman, not an actor.
Yeah, I know. Now, will you stop worrying? Leave that to me. Now, you'll be on a set ready to work at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Oh, this is great. This is fine. I start out shooting a cowboy picture and I wind up making a murder mystery.
Vance, are you in there?
Come in, Markham. I'm using the director's office for my own temporarily. I need some place to concentrate while I'm correlating my findings on this movie murder case.
And what are your findings, Vance?
Well, I've questioned everybody in sight, Markham. That includes the director, Ed Haley, Ingram's co-star, Joyce Payne, the writer, Bill Moore, and Ingram's double, Wally Douglas.
Uh-huh.
But if I add up what I found out from all of them combined, I'd still have nothing. That Douglas interests me, though.
Ingram's double?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your idea that he killed Ingram thinking he could take the star's place?
Hardly. He's no actor, and he knows it. He's an ex-pugilist, Markham. Was beaten up pretty badly in the ring, I understand. Of course, that's not unusual.
Vance, let's understand each other. Both of us are working on this case. Neither of us, apparently, has made any headway. But you do know something that I don't, so let's start from there, shall we?
You want to know how I knew it was murder. Is that it, Markham?
It most certainly is.
Well, that's reasonably simple. How many Art Ingram pictures have you seen?
Oh, a few, I guess. I don't know actually why.
You remember the scenes where he rides horseback?
Of course, he was an excellent rider. Oh, now I get it. You've built a whole murder theory on the premise that a rider as good as Ingram wouldn't slip off his horse. Now, Vance...
That reproachful tone would be used correctly if that was what I built my theory on. But it isn't, Markham. I've seen a dozen Ingram pictures. In every one of them, he rode horseback, and in every one of them, he wore gloves when he rode.
That's not unusual. Most cowboy stars, maybe all of them, wear gloves when they're riding.
That is exactly why I knew Ingram was murdered. His director and co-star saw the ring on his finger when he rode past them, remember?
If
the ring was seen on his finger, he couldn't have been wearing gloves. Yet he always wore gloves when he got on a horse. Now, what's the answer, Markham?
Oh, he didn't get on the horse he was put on after he was dead.
You're right. His killer figured out a way to make it look like an accident. Now I've got to think of a way to figure out the killer.
This is District Attorney Markham. The movie murder case began when Art Ingram, cowboy star, was thrown from his horse. But Philo Vance reasoned that what looked like an accident was actually murder. Suspects include Ingram's director, his co-star, and a scriptwriter, Bill Moore, although Vance finds Wally Douglas, stuntman, an interesting character. In an effort to finish the picture, director Ed Haley is shooting an outdoor scene with Wally Douglas acting as Ingram. And Vance and I are interested spectators. It is the following.
You'll be interested in this, Markham, Vance. Now, in a scene, the hero rides right past us. He doesn't know the bridge up ahead is washed out, and he's heading for sure destruction when the heroine, that's Joyce, the heroine rides up in back of him and lassos.
While both of them are riding at top speed?
Well, in a Western movie, nobody ever rides any other way. We've rehearsed this scene several times, and we're ready to shoot it.
Miss Payne actually lassos Wally Douglas.
Oh, yes, she's very good with the rope. You watch and see. Okay, here we go, everybody. Miss Payne, ready?
Ready.
Wally Douglas?
Okay.
All right, let's make this. Quiet, everybody.
Quiet.
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 No sound. Quiet, everybody. Roll them.
Speed.
Production number 11254, scene 7. Take it away.
Action.
All right, boy. Come on. Get it.
Okay, Joyce, now throw that lasso. Throw it. All right, cut. All right, that's it. Print that one. We'll dub in the sound later.
That young lady's very good with the rope, isn't she, Mr. Haley?
Joyce, she's sensational. Terrific. Why?
Yes, Vance, why?
No reason. Must there be a reason for everything I say, Markham?
No, but there generally is, isn't there?
Joyce?
Bill! What are you doing in my dressing room?
I'm here to take care of you, Joyce. That's what I'm here for. I didn't have a chance before this to really show you how I feel about you telling Vance about me and Art Ingram.
He'd have found out anyhow, Billy. Vance would have found a way of...
That's nothing to what I'm going to do to you, kid. Maybe this will teach you to keep your mouth shut.
No, you don't. You don't get away with slapping me, you two-bit no-talent.
My
God,
hair.
Think...
Let go of my
you were
hair.
You're going to teach
you...
me where you are. I'll show you.
Somebody's
what
at the door.
You...
Let's quit this quick.
Who's there?
It's I, Philo Vance. May I come in?
Come on.
Oh, hi, Vance. Joyce and I were just running over a scene.
Yes, I heard part of it from outside. Scene is quite the word.
You, want to know what happened in here, don't you, Vance?
I'd hate to think I couldn't guess. Actually, I came looking for you, Mr. Moore. I've just found out the reason you hated Art Ingram.
You found out about my sister?
That's right.
I could have saved you a lot of trouble, Vance. After the way this guy busted in on me, believe me, I'd have told you all the details myself.
Your sister was very young, very pretty, engaged to the campus hero. Four-letter man, is that right, Moore?
That's right.
She killed herself a few months after she left college to follow the late Mr. Ingram. You didn't want me to know about that, did you, Moore?
No, but not for any reason that you think. I didn't want you to know because I didn't want that story dragged out again. Is that wrong?
Not if that was the reason.
I told you it was.
Miss Payne.
Yes?
I watched you lasso Mr. Ingram's double this morning. You're quite strong.
What about it?
Well, somebody, whoever killed Ingram, had to boost him up to his saddle after he was dead. To tell you the truth, I didn't suspect you at first because you're a girl.
Well?
To continue telling you the truth, that fact doesn't continue to keep you off my list of suspects.
Sit here next to me on this crane, Vance. And when we begin shooting, it'll swing up and out and come right over the action.
This is very interesting, Mr. Haley. Thank you very much. What happens in this scene?
Well, it's a mountain cabin, see? Now, the hero walks in, finds one of the cattle rustlers guarding the girl, and knocks him out. We'll use Wally Douglas, of course, but he's been instructed to keep his back to the camera. I hope he can remember a simple thing like that.
Douglas has approximately the same build as the late Mr. Ingram.
Just about. Okay, everybody. Quiet.
Quiet.
Okay, let's make this. Sound. Sound's ready. Quiet, everybody. Roll them.
Speed. Production 11254, scene 47. Take it away.
Action.
So.
Look out, Art. He's got a gun.
Well, if he has, he won't get a chance to use it.
Oh. Thank goodness you got here, darling. Please put your arms around me. You deserve it, you know. After all, you were the victor.
The victor? Well, to the victor? Victor over the verdant field.
Cut! Cut! Hold it, everybody!
What was wrong, Mr. Haley?
You'll hear in a second, Vance. Oh, Wally. Wally Douglas. Your line is supposed to be, to the victor belongs the spoils. What happened to it, Wally?
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry, Mr. Haley. I just couldn't remember it.
Oh, where'd you get the line you did remember?
I don't know. It just came to me.
Well, tell it to go away and not come around anymore. We don't want it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's make the whole scene over again. Places, everybody. Oh, Wally.
Yes, Mr. Haley.
Will you please remember your lines and keep your back to the camera?
Okay.
All right, everybody. You, Pete, get off the floor.
Well, I have to take another poke in the jaw from Wally. He hits like a mule. Well,
fake that punch, will you, Wally? You almost broke Pete's jaw.
I'm sorry, Mr. Haley. I forget things.
Yeah, I know. Places, everybody.
Places, everybody.
All right, let's do this again. Make it right this time.
Excuse me, please, Mr. Haley, but do you mind if I leave?
Why, no, not at all. This is getting boring, Vance.
On the contrary, it's very interesting. In fact, I might almost say revealing.
You might at least tell me what you're looking up, Vance.
I will in a moment, Markham. Ah, here it is. The quotation is from Pope. Victor over the verdant field.
Whatever that means.
It means a great deal to me, Markham. And it's going to mean a great deal more, I believe, after I make a long-distance phone call.
Listen and listen close. Huh? I know it's 3:30 in the morning, but I couldn't call before because I've been watched. I know you killed Art Ingram, but I hated him too. Hated him enough to give you a chance to get away. You see, Philo Vance knows you killed Art. Don't ask me how. He knows it, that's all. There's a train out of here at 5 o'clock. That gives you an hour and a half to get packed, blow, and remember me in your dreams. So long. How did I do, Vance?
Very well, Miss Payne, very well. You see, I'm quite certain that you just spoke to Mr. Ingram's murderer. Now, Mr. Markham and I are going to get the proof we need.
You know, I haven't been up this late or this early in years, Vance.
It is almost 4:30 in the morning, isn't it, Markham? And our man hasn't shown up yet. The train should be here in a few minutes, and so should he. In fact, look.
Where, Vance?
It's very dark, Markham, but isn't that a shadow over there by the station platform?
I don't see... Oh, yes, it is. It is, Vance. It's a man.
It's more than a man, Markham. It's our man. Better get in back of him in case there's trouble. Got a gun, Markham?
Yes.
Keep it handy. I'm going right up to him. Hello there.
Huh?
Going somewhere?
Oh, it's you, Vance. Oh, so the tip was straight. You did know it was me, didn't you? Well, you're a sucker for trying to take me, Vance, because I'm going to...
I'm glad you did that, Markham. Very happy indeed that you knocked him out.
If I hadn't, he most certainly would have knocked you out, Vance. He was just about to. And now, if I'm not too inquisitive, who is he?
Use your flashlight, Markham. I know you'll want to get a look at our murdering friend.
I don't have my flashlight, and it's too dark to see.
In that case, I'll enlighten you. The murderer of Art Ingram, Markham, was his own double, Wally Douglas. You know, Markham, I've never done anything quite like this before.
You mean sitting in a private projection room and seeing yourself on the screen?
That's right.
I asked you to have a film and recording made of your explanation of the movie murder case so that we'd have it for our home, Vance. Mrs. Markham and I have a new 16-millimeter projector, and Mr. Haley practically begged to be allowed to shoot this for us.
I'll know whether I'm indebted to him or not as soon as I see what I look like and hear what I sound like.
Please don't forget I'm in the picture, too, Vance.
Ready to begin any time, Mr. Vance.
Well, that might as well be now.
Good enough. Lights out. Here we go.
Markham, you wanted to know why Wally Douglas killed Art Ingram and how I knew it was he who had done it.
That's right, Vance.
Well, to begin with, I was watching a fight scene being photographed when I saw Mr. Douglas knock out one of the actors with a powerful right hand.
Oh, that's the beginning.
His entire appearance indicated he had been a professional fighter, and that blow proved it.
That still doesn't tie him up with the Ingram murder.
No, but he made a curious speech when he had knocked out the man. He said something about the victor and verdant fields.
I remember when that puzzled me.
That was a very learned quotation to be used by an ex-pug. In fact, I had to look it up to find that it was written by Alexander Pope.
That suggested to you, then, that Wally Douglas, the double, had been well-educated.
Oh, no, reasonably well, at any rate. There was no question but that the beatings he had taken in the prize ring had affected his mind a bit.
Pathetic
but it still functioned to an extent where he remembered certain incidents and lines from his past.
That long-distance phone call you made.
Oh, that really
what was it made to?
You know, really.
Daniels University. I wanted a description of the four-letter athlete who had been the fiancé of the girl who killed herself over Ingram.
You mean the sister of Bill Moore, the writer?
I don't
correct.
Wonder.
I got the description, Markham, and also found that the fiancé had majored in English and that Alexander Pope was one of his favorite authors. It seems that after his fiancé's death, he left college, went into the ring, and quit after absorbing terrific punishment. After that, he lived only to get revenge on the man who took the girl he loved from him.
That's it, Mr. Vance.
You figured out his murder scheme, Vance, just because he forgot to put gloves on Ingram's hands before boosting him onto his horse.
That was the beginning of our activities, Markham. And now, this is the end of the movie murder case.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.